Mr. Crawford to speak to us. In particular, I'd like to ask your extensive review of the 10-year plan for the BDA proposes. We look at the site plan as currently proposed, extending down to underneath Fifth Ave to William Street. What is your assessment of the financial impact on the DDA, together with the other projects that are in its pipeline?
Everyone may not be aware that Mr. Crawford is the city's chief financial officer.
Thanks. I spent some time with the DDA and reviewed their financial projections, and you know, one of the things I noticed was that they don't have a target or minimum reserve policy. So as I looked at it, I use a minimum reserve of 15% to 20%. And as I looked at this project and everything else on their plate, I don't, in my view, the project as proposed is not affordable with the plans that they have. So I think there are alternatives that are more affordable, but as proposed, I did not find it to be affordable.
Thank you. So I have a couple of concerns about the scope of this project. First, I think the cost of the extension along Fifth Avenue is too steep for the value that might be added to the former Y property. The DDA was, I think, very forward-thinking in proposing that the extension of the structure be extended along the Y site. And I appreciate the board's proactive work in considering the larger context that the parking structure would operate in. But while the DDA, I think, rightly anticipated that information about the white site might materialize, in fact, it has not. And therefore, making this investment is, in my view, getting ahead of ourselves. And in particular, I think it's going to constrain the DDA from making many of the important investments in alternative transportation that it's shown the leadership in doing recently. Second, the number of spaces exceeds what I believe is required, again, due largely to the proposed extension down Fifth Avenue. As I said, I think there's no doubt that additional parking is needed. My view of the Nelson Nygaard report and what we anticipate going forward in the community that is that the addition of the number of spaces that would be added, excluding the extension down Fifth Avenue, is sufficient. It would be a greater than 10% increase to the 5,000 spaces, roughly, that are in our off-street parking inventory. And that's a significant move forward. And finally, as we heard, I think there's some concern about our ability to manage the full cost of that structure. So, on the one hand, we do need to add more parking stock and maintain flexibility with respect to the Y site. On the other hand, we need to make sure, I think, not to get ahead of ourselves and leave the DDA with not enough flexibility to help support the community in broadening our alternative transportation options. I'd like to propose, then, that we amend this resolution to scale back construction of the structure to not include the extension along Fifth Ave, so that currently we would be looking at a parking structure that crosses Fifth Ave but does not continue down Fifth Ave beyond the southern property line of the current library lot.
So to be clear, it doesn't go all the way to William then?
That's correct.
And do you have a as you put this forward, do you have an estimate on the cost savings of that?
In my conversations with both the DDA and the Mr. Crawford, our chief financial officer, I think removing that leg will remove about 100 spaces and save about $6 million in cost.
Is there a second? Seconded by Councilmember Graydon. Discussion, and let's try to stay on the amendment. Councilmember Graydon?
First, just to clarify, are these the amendments that you submitted and circulated to everybody? Is that what you're proposing?
That's correct.
Okay, great. I support this amendment. As I mentioned to Councilmember Honka some time ago when he and I first discussed this, about a year and a half ago or a year ago, when I first drafted the resolution asking the DDA to take a look at the library lot, or the Fifth Avenue parking lot, as it's really called, for an underground parking garage, and then as this council approved moving forward with design of that, I had reservations early on about building a garage that's too large. I agree with Councilmember Honka, and he did a great job summarizing the reasons for doing so. There are potentially some long-term benefits that could materialize in terms of enhancing the benefit of the former YMCA site. I believe that those benefits are too speculative to justify the high cost, particularly when you're talking about underground parking. It has some wonderful benefits, but you've got to balance those things. This amendment that Councilmember Honka has before us will accomplish what we need, which is a significant addition to the parking system. We've heard tonight from the merchants who support that, and I'll talk about that a little more later. But it recognizes the financial situation and the balancing act that we need to ensure that the DDA has the financial capacity to make this garage seed and to do other things within the parking system. I also think this is a good amendment because it protects what could be referred to as the on-ramp or the down-ramp. I don't know what the technical term is. Speed ramp. Thank you, Councilmember Higgins. The speed ramp that would go on Fifth Avenue, and that would make this garage even more user-friendly than some of our other garages, and that's important to ensuring use by both permit parkers and short-term parkers. So I thank Councilmember Honka for early on taking an interest in this and taking the lead in bringing this amendment forward. I strongly support it.
Further discussion on the amendment. Councilmember Breer.
Before moving forward, I feel that there are a lot of questions I would have of both Mr. Crawford and Ms. Pillay that, for me, would illuminate how I would vote on this amendment. So, Ms. Pillay? Broad and general enough, but they're related to Fifth and Division and the parking structure, because to me these are interrelated projects in my mind, if not in the minds of everyone in the city. The Fifth and Division project is one that we've already approved, and one that I'm looking forward to seeing going forward. I think it's going to make a big difference downtown. How is the timing of that project going to be affected by the proposed parking structure?
As you described, the DDA is also viewing the two of them as very intertwined. We're fortunate that members of the parking structure design team, Beckett and Rader, are the designers of the Fifth and Division project. So more intertwined than you might even imagine, because the design team that spearheads both is on both teams. The anticipated construction this summer would be after the site plan is resolved. We begin some utility work in Fifth Avenue for the parking structure. As part of the project, it's not just parking spaces. I think people have heard this a lot, but it also involves upsizing and improving other capacity in the area. And so, for instance, in Fifth Avenue, we have a 4-inch water main that will be taken out, and we're going to replace it with a 12-inch water main. We'll be in Fifth Avenue beginning that work, coordinating, of course, with Art Fair, and also with a resurfacing project on Liberty Street this summer. At the same time, we're going to begin work on Division Street with the Fifth and Division project. We're anticipating going out to bid around the same time with the parking deck, and we're going to begin on Division to allow the parking structure work to start on Fifth. Fifth will take place over the next year or so. And the big hole gets dug and all that work gets done, and then at that point, the Division Street improvement efforts can then take place on Fifth Avenue. So very interconnected. They're going to begin about the same time, coordinating with the same design team.
How many net parking spaces do we gain in the Fifth and Division redesign, excluding the parking structure as currently proposed?
The Fifth and Division project will bring approximately 100 parking spaces.
New parking spaces?
And what isn't as well known is about half of them are in the core area. The other half are in the residential area. A part of that project is also intended to support the residential buildings, the houses that are on North Division, for instance. And we would be adding parking in those neighborhoods without the intention of adding meters or public parking uses. That would be for the neighbors. But there would be at least 50 in the core area.
Councilmember Breer, would you please ask her How the amendment would affect all this?
How would the amendment affect all of this? Thank you.
Well, with regard to the amendment for the project, we would certainly make accommodations insofar as what the construction drawings for the deck would look like. Again, because we're going to be in Fifth Avenue anyway, it would not necessarily affect Fifth and Division.
It wouldn't add costs?
The removal of that piece of the parking structure? Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Where are the funds for Fifth and Division coming from? Are they also coming from the parking fees?
We are using our tax increment financing dollars for that. We generate about $3.5 million a year. About $1 million of that is going to debt service. Another $500,000 is going to the city for the court police building. The remaining amount is being used for administration and so forth. But the lion's share at this point will be given over to projects like Fifth and Division.
Okay. And there's a state grant involved as well.
And that's important to note. Prior to the stimulus packet, the DDA applied for and was very grateful to understand that we are likely to be receiving a grant from the state upwards to $1 million.
Thank you. There's just a couple more questions for you. What's the oldest parking structure in the city?
I can tell you what it once was, and that's first in Washington.
I know what it once was.
It lost its top two floors, but it, because the bottom floor remains, I guess it would get the still the oldest. I think second to that, and I have Carl Walker with me, I believe that it's Maynard. I think Maynard comes in very shortly thereafter. I think it was built in the very early 50s. And shortly on the heels of Maynard was 4th and William. So we have decks that are about 50 years old, which is pretty remarkable given how well we're maintaining them. They have exceeded the 30-year lives that we saw of the former Forest and 4th and Washington structures by a long shot.
What's the mix that you anticipate for the new parking structure, the underground parking structure, between permit and hourly parking?
It has not been determined. One piece that is important, I think you heard a little bit, especially from the State Street Association members, we know that the demand in the campus area is only going to continue to grow, particularly because we have so many new residential buildings going in, as well as all the other uses. It's very likely that we're going to move at least a couple hundred of the permits that are at Maynard today a block to the west and put them in this structure. That would allow for more customer parking spaces in the Maynard garage. We flex these structures as a system, and that would be an example where we know that there's a demand. We have people who are just housing their cars either all day long or for weeks on end. Those are cars that could be moved out. There's also, we hope to see, renewed vigor in all the libraries projects. We've had growing demand for hourly parking at that lot today, and I anticipate only going to grow more in the future. So there'll be a very strong hourly component in this deck. The top two layers will probably be hourly.
And is there a mix between residential permit and work permit? Can you track that?
We do. And when we talk about residential, it's a very interesting question. In some communities, theoretically, they talk about someone moving their car at night and then someone else takes it in the morning. We're not seeing as many people move their cars in the morning when they're downtown residents. It's because many of the people who live downtown choose to work downtown or are themselves retired or are students. We have a lot of downtown residents who are not moving their cars. So we make provisions for cars that are not moving for long periods of time. We also, at the same time, have overnight permits. These are very discounted, $30 a month overnight permits, for anyone who can move their car out by 9 the next morning. We give them a financial incentive to do that. So we kind of have a mix. For those workers who are moving, we'll take care of them. And for those that can't move their cars, they're choosing to work downtown, we make provisions for them as well.
Thank you. And now I have questions for Mr. Crawford. You've answered one of my questions already about the DDA's ability to build this project as proposed. Would the DDA be able to build this project and make bond payments if they didn't raise parking fees?
No.
Okay. Is the plan before us tonight within reach of the currently available funding? Just a second, I'm going to... Does this plan really stretch its resources even if it's cut down a little bit by the $6 million proposed?
With everything else in their plan, even with the reduced size, it is still really unaffordable, but it's within reach that there are things the DDA have pointed out, options they could come up with to get there.
Do we need to raise the parking rates further than we're seeing tonight?
That would be up to the DDA.
Okay. Thank you.
Further discussion of the amendment. Councilmember Smith.
Sticking with the amendment, Mr. Hewitt, could you come up and share some information with us? As chair of the operations committee for the DDA and the parking manager, in a sense, can you tell us a little bit about what you've seen with usage? You were very involved with the Nelson Nygaard study, how the usage has grown over time, and a little bit about the waiting list as well.
Sure. Almost two and a half years ago, we've started to notice a rather steady month-to-month, comparing one month with the same month a year ago, increase in both the number of hourly patrons and the revenues in the parking system. And those have been in the 5% range for almost 2.5 years now. When Nelson Nygaard completed their study, they gave our daytime capacity of our parking system at about 84%. And that they view capacity is one of their benchmarks at about 85%. That's the point at which the perception of a parking system is that it's full and people stop coming downtown because they view the parking system as full. So when you're over that 85% point, you're essentially telling people that there's not enough room downtown. And I have some, I can find the correct figures here. Our daytime usage average right now in our six parking structures is 90% at peak time. So clearly we're over the 85% bridge of where people start to perceive it as a full system. And even, I have in here, something that's particularly close to my heart in the Maynard structure on event nights. At 8 o'clock, our occupancy is 98%. So we are clearly at a point where if we don't expand the system right now, as soon as we can, we're not going to be able to have growth in the downtown.
And can you speak to the waiting list at all?
Yes, the waiting list is sort of depends on how you count it, but there are approximately 1,000 people waiting for parking permits on the waiting list right now. Now, we certainly believe that many of those people are currently parking in the system somewhere or in the neighborhoods nearby. You know, we don't really obviously know where they're parking right now. So certainly the first thing we would do when the new structure comes online would be to start selling monthly permits to those people on the waiting list. How that will affect the overall system, we're not sure because we don't know how many people are in the system some other way right now. But clearly there's a pent-up demand for people to get, a significant pent-up demand for people to get those monthly permits.
And how many new parking spaces have been added to the system in the last decade?
To my knowledge, we added 125 spaces on the top of the 4th and Williams structure. We, however, lost about 140 spaces when we tore down the 1st and Washington structure. There have been some temporary lots added on 1st and William area and also the former city maintenance yard, but overall the increase has been pretty negligible in the last decade, actually in the last 20 years. I think one of the statistics that we like to point out, I think that I've seen is that in the last 25 years we've added something like 2.5 million square feet of space in the downtown, and we've added virtually no parking in that period. The last
Thank you.
Major new structure that added parking was the Ann Ashley and the Liberty Square parking structures in the mid-80s.
Okay, thank you. Because of this data, I'm reluctant to want to see the structure be any smaller than what is originally planned for the 777 units of parking. I think, imperative in the design that we go across Fifth Avenue and we include the speed ramp in which is the shortened version, which I think is a C1 or C version versus the C1 that goes all the way down the leg and adds the extra spaces. We have an opportunity to build perhaps the last structure right now in the system, and we may never build another one. And it's very difficult to get to this particular point at the table and have the design in front of us. I will support the amendment reluctantly because I really feel that I would like to see as much parking added to the system as possible, but I will support it if I really feel that we get the parking structure underway. And I think that that's important enough to not stand away the compromise of a little slightly smaller structure. But it is designed to be added onto. So there are pieces of the structure that can be added on when there's development that is adjacent to the building that's happening now. So there's we can go down Fifth Avenue again. We can extend in underneath the old Y and also mid-block between Division and Fifth. So there are opportunities to continue to expand it. I'm not sure that the will ever get there again. So that's my hesitation in supporting a reduced size.
Remember, after we discuss the amendment, we're going to have a discussion about the whole parking structure, folks. Further discussion on the amendment, Councilmember Teal.
Yeah, this is to the amendment. I just heard what Councilmember Smith said about the difference in the speed ramps. Will this change the speed ramp in any way? No. Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Higgins.
I believe this is for Ms. Pallet. Hey, I have a couple of just quick questions. If we're looking to shorten or take off the leg, basically, going down to William, and yet we talk about the street improvements we're already doing within Fifth, are we continuing street improvements with water mains or anything all the way down to William?
No, what is anticipated is the water main would come from the Liberty intersection and then feed right to the lot and stop there.
Okay.
The deck, which would be in the middle of the street, would not allow us to continue the water main. Our initial idea was actually to run it through the deck. We thought, what better idea than to have the utilities crews be able to reach it from both the street, which is where they normally get it, but also from down below. We were more excited about that idea than they were. So the water main, though, the expanded water main, will lead from Liberty Street, and it's primarily intended for whatever will go on top somewhere down the road. We'll also at the same time be working with the city on an expanded water main in Division Street as well. That's something that may be less well known. Again, another 12-inch water main that would run the length from Liberty to William Street. The intention is to be able to feed that whole district, because as projects come online and need sprinkling systems, as new residents come into the mix, we're going to need that capacity. And so this is intended to provide for that. If we're in the middle of the street, the line will stop where it is at Fifth. And down the road, if the city has an interest in expanding the deck, there won't be utilities in the way to get to interfere.
So if it stops at the parking deck, how does it go further down Fifth to get to the Y site should that be developed?
At this point, our plan for the Y would be to feed that from William Street. So it doesn't necessarily need a north-south connection. It would use the east-west.
Okay. My other question is, and I believe I read it in one of the many emails that have been going back and forth, is that with the completion of this deck, we would be moving some of the permit parking from Maynard to this deck. How much of that were we talking about doing? What was the percentage? Because if we talk about this is an area that we're looking to build, if we have it filled up with permit parking, what's the balance?
We haven't determined the final number. It's more of a general conceptual plan. We know that we have opportunities to move some of the storage cars from Maynard to this deck, for instance, that are serving our Tower Plaza residents. We know that we have daily parking in the form of State Street area merchants. If and when a project were to come on top, we could move those month-to-month permits. And also the storage cars. These are month-to-month permits. These are not contracts for that particular deck. And there's enormous leeway for the city at any point to say those spaces need to be now taken over by this use. And we would find a place for them at Maynard or at Liberty Square.
But we still will retain a certain percentage, even if we remove these 100 spaces, there will still be a certain percentage that will be for people to come and just do daily parking or evening
Absolutely.
Parking or event parking.
And one of the most important parts of this deck is the amount of the attention that was given to what happens down below. There was a lot of concern initially from members of our community about parking in an underground deck. We've all seen those scary movie trailers, and there's a squealing tire, and you're the only one there, and oh my goodness. Well, that's not what you're going to see when you get to our deck. Natural light filling up the space. A great deal of attention to high ceiling heights. Everything is light. Everything is bright. The area closest to the library is being intended to be serving a lot of hourly users. So that will be a flat area. There won't be those ramping spaces that get you disoriented as to exactly which space you're in. The intention is to make this as welcoming to the hourly user as possible. And then by default, the permit holders will also be there. They'll be probably in the lower levels.
I'm still trying to get through the amendment.
Well, the amendment was if we reduce the number of parking, if we were moving a lot of permit parking.
Then there'll be 100 less daylit spaces.
Got it. Thanks.
Further discussion on the amendment. Councilmember Honka.
Just a point of clarification. I neglected to mention for the public's benefit, although my colleagues saw in the amendments that were circulated, the amendment as proposed approves the entire site plan that is before us. And this goes to, although it provides guidance to limit construction to the southern edge of the current lot. I just wanted to make that clear. It goes to some of Councilmember Smith's concerns, which I appreciate. I too think it's important that we get as much of this parking done as possible. I wanted to make sure that we preserve the option as we move forward and learn more about what might happen on the old Y site. The engineers and architects will be constructing the garage to provide for that expansion should it be warranted, should the community decide it's warranted in the future. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment? Councilmember Rapunlo.
Well, I thank Councilmember Honka for bringing that point up, because I think that basically has sold it for me, the flexibility that's built into that amendment. Given the expense and the effort that has to go into this, I had indicated from the get-go that if you're going to dig a big hole, you dig it all at once and get it over with. But the fact, certainly the financial data is compelling, but I think that the opportunity to still go forward with the full plan if things change, then we have that ability. And so because of that, I'll be supporting the amendment.
I have a great deal of confidence in the what has always been very conservative financial forecasting coming from both the DDA and from Mr. Crawford. And I believe that the DDA was well positioned to be able to afford the larger structure, having sat through many meetings at the DDA where this has been proposed. But I will be voting in favor of the amendment, and I think that it is still going to be a very large parking structure, and it is going to add a great deal to our parking system. So I'll be voting for the amendment as well. Further discussion on the amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Back to DB1 as amended. I'm sorry, DB2. As I just spoke about the finances for this project, I'm comfortable that that is going to be something that will be well handled by the DDA. One of the things that, as we noted the history of the DDA a little bit in talking about structures, there has never been a time when the DDA was not able to handle its financial commitments ever since the DDA was established here in Ann Arbor, and I don't expect that to ever happen. But one point I did want to speak to and take a couple of points, actually. Something was brought up by one of our speakers tonight that I've heard over and over again, and that is the fact that we are losing business because in the downtown area because there's inadequate parking. I hear anecdotal evidence every week from people who write me, call me, stop me somewhere and talk about the fact that when you're going to build parking, I can't find a place to park in downtown Ann Arbor. I hear it from merchants and the fact that companies, high-tech companies that were a gem to have in our city are leaving because we can't find parking to them is a scary proposition. The other issue that I wanted to speak to, because it's been brought up to me today in some of the emails I've received and one of our speakers addressed it here tonight, and it's a special interest to me, and that is about the need for a parking structure and why don't we do this entirely through our alternative transportation efforts. And it has taken me a long time to come around to the point of view, actually, that we need this large parking structure because I've been working very hard ever since about the day I was elected on alternative transportation efforts. And I would take a moment, if you don't mind, to highlight some of those efforts. There's no city in the state of Michigan that works as hard as we do on alternative transportation, and indeed Ann Arbor is probably one of the top cities in the nation in moving on this issue. That can be supported very easily by noting that it was just last year that we received an award as the third best city to walk in the United States from the American Podiatry Association and Prevention Magazine. In 2006, we were said to be in the top 21 cities in the nation for bicycling by Bicycle Magazine, the third in our population class. Do I really think we're there in cycling? We've still got a ways to go. But somebody else thought we were. And I think this highlights part of the effort that we've been moving forward with. In the 2005 update of the census by no less an authority than the Census Bureau, they said we were the 10th best city in the United States for the number of the people that walk and bike to their destination. We've been promoting this for a long time. No city, no other city in the state of Michigan has designated 5% of their Act 51 monies that they receive for the state for roads to alternative non-motorized transportation. We've been following through on this effort for years, and it is bearing fruit. So I too felt that why can't we bring more people downtown on the bus? The Get Downtown program with the Go Pass has actually won an international award from ICLEI. We were cited in their magazine a year ago for an innovative program. The programs that we have promoted throughout the city, the Get Downtown program and all the events that go with that, not just the Go Pass, have borne a lot of fruit, and we've been able to get more and more people out of their cars coming downtown. We have two proposals on the table right now that we're actively working for funding to bring rail transit to Ann Arbor, the North-South Railway and the East-West Railway. Neither of those is going to be downtown anytime in the near future. Until we get agreement from Ann Arbor Railroad, even if we get funding, which I'm hopeful now, there's a new page, a new chapter that may have just opened on that funding possibility for the North-South. Until we get agreement from Ann Arbor Railroad, that won't be coming downtown. It will be stopping on the north side of town. The East-West has never been proposed to come downtown, so people could come in by train and get on a bus to go downtown. But the bottom line decision that I know I had to make was, why can't we do this all with alternative transportation? Well, it's very simple. We can't make people go to work in downtown. We can't make them go to shop downtown. We can't use the idea that we're going to have a shortage of parking so that everybody has to get downtown in some other method, because there's going to be a percentage of people that will choose not to do that. They'll choose to go somewhere where they can drive up and park. They'll choose to move their company outside of our city into the township so that people can drive to their job and park in the parking lot outside the door. We can't solely on ourselves change the human behavior that will help to make our downtown healthy, because our downtown can't survive just on the amount of people who can park downtown now and the amount of people that maybe will find their way there on the bus, on foot, or on their bike. So we've had to come to what I think is a watershed moment, here in the city, and that is to make a decision to build the large parking structure that so many people have said that we've needed for so long. And given what I've just said, given the fact that I have confidence that our alternative transportation efforts are going to continue, when I would note that the DDA has set up a new subcommittee and is willing to fund the issue of alternative transportation, has been doing that for some time, and has put a new emphasis on alternative transportation to get people downtown. But the bottom line is, alternative transportation won't be enough if we want to have the downtown that is viable, the downtown that is healthy, that is growing in years to come. We're going to need more parking to get more residents. We're going to need more parking, not only just to retain the business that we have downtown, but to bring more business downtown. I can end this with a story about that we all know about a company called Google. I don't know of another company in town that does more to promote getting their people into town without their automobiles, because Google is, excuse me for this microphone, having a little trouble with it tonight. Google has contests within their company, and you can win a prize for not driving your car to work. They have probably the youngest workforce, one of the youngest workforces in the city, people that are able to walk and bike. And yet their principal criteria for settling in downtown Ann Arbor was parking. They needed to have guaranteed parking, or I'm sure they wouldn't have been there. They wouldn't be here in downtown Ann Arbor. We cannot afford to lose any more business because we don't have enough parking, and we owe it to all those hardworking business people, some of whom we heard here tonight, and I'm sure they're speaking for many, many more who stand behind them. We need more parking downtown. Further discussion on DB2. Councilmember Anglin.
I would be looking at this from so many different points of view besides the what we've heard this evening. We all think, like we hear when we say, why did they do it? We hear that all the time. Why did, like, Seattle do this? Why did New York do this? Well, we're at a time now where we can have that right to do something bold. And here we are doing what's been done over and over and over again. You can walk from one side of the downtown, probably through parking lots all the way through the town. And yet we're told we need more. Most of what we heard this evening is people park all day in downtown, and then at about 6 o'clock, the town empties out. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that people who work in downtown who don't use their car from 9 to 5 should leave it out of the town. We move more people into this town during art fair than any other time. We move them in by buses. We bring hundreds of thousands of people downtown. I'm still a supporter of the downtown. I'm not against any private businesses. We have a business in the downtown, and I've never heard anyone who stays at our B&B say, we had a hard time parking. They usually drive downtown at night and go to the restaurants. Now, during the day, I'm sure people have a hard time parking because they're anticipating hundreds of slots to be available. But if we get to a point where we don't provide the 100 slots and we give parking in other places and bring them in on buses just as quickly, and it's for almost no money, I think they'd get used to that. The university's been trying to be successful at that, and there are programs that do work. University doesn't want their people parking up there. They want the patients to come in. They want day people. That's what we need coming downtown. How do you do that? Well, one suggestion I have, we heard that on Division, we're getting 100 new parking spots. 100 spots on one street. People like the street to park on. We're trying right here at Ann, parallel parking, where you come in, you pull in at an angle. We could do that throughout our whole city. We have a resource we haven't even tapped. The parking report says, do not do anything until you've explored all other alternatives. And all we have done is go back to a 50-year alternative of we can park cars. Well, that's not novel. In fact, I'm very disappointed. I would have loved to have seen, if there even was going to be a parking structure, on the first floor of it, maybe 20 feet underground, a supermarket, and then a couple of places for parking. Because if you want to develop the downtown, you better get some services down here, too. The DDA presently has four properties that are bringing taxes into them. Liberty Lofts, Ashley Terrace, 411 Lofts, and Zaragoza Place. All right? Now, if any of these properties falter, and none of them have really taken off except Liberty Lofts, if any of these properties falter, the DDA revenue is going to falter. You as business people are going to add, if someone comes down and has a two-hour meal at your restaurant, you're going to bill him or her another $6 or $7 just to come down there with this parking. Your parking is constantly going to go up. It's not going to go down. And now we have a little pause. That gas is a little cheaper. So we're a little, you know, feisty now. That may not continue. You're making long-term plans on sand. There's not a one of these things that I read here that is confirmed. The only thing that is confirmed in this town is that people will use water and pay for it, and that people will pay their taxes if they want to stay in their home. Every one of these are options. You can drive downtown or not. Look at Stadium. It's packed. If you have a downtown business, people will come to it if it's a good business. And all this stuff about driving around and everything else, but they still come back, don't they? And we also heard that the commercial market is really in trouble. That's a terrible thing to have heard. I know that some of the biomedical people stay with us at our bed and breakfast, and they work right downtown, and they come in and out of town, and it's very convenient for them. So I know that their little company's staying, but I would imagine that as a company gets much larger, we really can't accommodate everybody who wants to park in this town. You could build forever and not accommodate that. You couldn't build for convenience. Most people here say they want to walk about 2 feet to the store. You'll never build that. Never. And at the same time, you have this whole thing coming on about we support mass transit. We're a green town. My goodness. It's shameful. Shameful. And everybody's right on this train going right down that track. Well, I'm not going down it. I didn't approve any of the studies for it. I think we're going in the wrong direction. You're asking the taxpayers, if this fails, you know who picks it up again? The taxpayer. The taxpayer. The people who live in this city. Not the person who drives in every day, parks and has a good time, goes home. We don't see their taxes. What's our next step? Now we're going to get an income tax. Oh, that's great too. It's a wonderful time to think of all these horrible things. I know that downtown businesses are suffering. I can tell just by walking around. I don't think this is your solution. I'd go to the street. I'd look at that. It's cheaper. You own them. This we do own. I do agree. But I think the public was looking at this as a very different spot than simply another tall building. I mean, that's how it's designed. So that's just some of them. I mean, I could go on. The numbers don't work at all. The DDA would now need between $2 and $3 million more a year to cover this project if the project goes in at like in the $56 million range. 25% of this total cost is for a structure that's going to go on top, and yet we're all saying to one another, "Well, we don't know what's going to go there." That's a way of suspending belief. So I, for one, I'm very disappointed that we couldn't have come up with some better alternatives here. We had a lot of time, and you did not have public input. You did not. There has been a proposal made to put this on the back burner for a while and get some more input from the people who may have to pay for this. And I, for one, would like to see us do that, provided it was a real open and that people appointed to committees represented the environmental community, the banking community, so lots of different people, including the merchants. The parking study says do everything you can before moving in the direction of building. And again, I think our streets are the answer. Improve your streets. Put in parking meters there. I think it's, you know, you could probably do that pretty easily. Use that lot that we have next to the library, and the library will remain hopefully a focus for a long time. A future convention center is in the works. A lot of the public don't know that. We're building as if we want a convention center. If we want a convention center, so be it, but let's discuss it first before putting all the infrastructure in and say, wouldn't this work perfectly here? The library is a big community place. People go there a great deal. I don't know how many parents want to come in and drop their kids off and then pay money so the kids can pick up books when you can order books out at the other libraries and pick them up. Building garages is not the answer. It might have been an answer 50 years ago when the car was dominant in America. You're projecting the fact that 50 years from now the car will be dominant in America. You're not building anything that has any alternative or multiple use. So on just those couple, I mean, on almost every topic of environment, sustainability, transportation needs, economic realities, all of these, and plus the legacy that we leave. All aware of gas and environmental issues right now, and not one of us have spoken to those. Not one. So I, for one, will not be supporting this. I didn't even vote to have the study done. So I can't support this because of those things that I said. I would imagine this will pass, but I was hoping we would have a greater vision for this town than simply another parking structure.
Further discussion. Councilmember Honka.
Well, I want to thank Councilmember Anglin for his comments. I would note a couple of things. One, I think if we, again, look at the Nelson Nygaard report that we all invested in as a community, it talked about making sure that we have a multimodal approach to our transportation needs downtown. I think a fair look at what has been accomplished over the last number of years would show that a lot of those alternative transportation options are being pursued. I'd like to thank the mayor and the DDA for their leadership in making sure that we, as a community, engage commuter rail and go passes and parking for zip cars and the link and the Get Downtown program, ride share lots, bike lockers, bike hoops. We need to be doing all of these things together. And I think, again, it's clear from the data that we have that our parking system is at capacity. And we've heard from the very merchants that make their living downtown over and over and over again that some of their customers, while they may like to take advantage of alternative transportation to come into our community and visit the downtown and engage in some shopping there, those options aren't currently available. We have to do these things in parallel. I, too, would like to see us, and I hope we continue to move in a place where we've reached a tipping point, where we in the future are talking about which parking structure to take down. We're not there yet. On a separate note, I would like to add one thing, because there's been some conversation around what might go on top of this structure. I'd like to remind folks that we're talking about putting in an underground parking structure. No decision has been made about what is going to go on top. It's true we are pursuing some options to make sure that we can explore all of the things that might come forward in a community discussion about what goes on top of the now the Fifth Avenue lot. So I think it's important for people to realize, certainly it's my view that we need to have a long public conversation about that. No decisions have been made about what is going on that above the parking structure. So I think this is something that while we would like to see a lot of movement on alternative transportation options, I think this is the right balance. We have to make sure that we're investing in our infrastructure As has been pointed out, we haven't made any significant investment in our parking stock in the last 50-plus years. So I will be supporting this tonight.
Councilmember Graydon.
Thank you to the other council members for their comments, but particularly to the DDA, its staff, and its operations and capital committee members for working so hard on this project. I've been involved in this since before day one. I was involved back when there was talk about the three-site plan, and then I was involved in trying to put together something next to this building on land owned by the Ann Arbor News. And then I, as I mentioned earlier, wrote the resolution asking the DDA to look at the library site and wrote the resolution asking them to go forward and design it. What's important about that, and I want to hit a couple key points to remind people. One is that we call this the library lot because it's easier to say, but this doesn't have anything to do with the library expansion. Some folks have commented, well, how do you need this garage if the library's postponed its expansion? The history I just gave you shows that this discussion was going on long before the library was having any substantive discussion about its expansion. This garage stands on its own and needs to go forward on its own regardless of what the library may or may not do. This has nothing to do with a conference center or a convention center, which some people seem to mistakenly believe is being discussed. Absolutely nothing to do with that. I'm not aware of any formal proposal for a conference center downtown. If someone wants to come forward and propose one, more power to them. People can do that. But this has nothing to do with that. As Councilmember Honka pointed out, this has nothing to do with what's going on top. There has been no discussion, let alone a decision, about what goes on top of the site. And there will be an extensive public process before that ever happens. I can promise you that, and I think everyone around this table agrees with that. Once we get past those points and put those out of the way, here is a basic fact. Small businesses are suffering because of a lack of parking. We heard from them tonight. They showed up to talk to us, and they're still sitting here in the audience waiting for this result. These are the people who have a business in the DDA district and whose livelihoods depend on their business success and therefore parking. They need parking. They know it every day. But we have data to show it as well. We have data showing how full the system is. And you can break it down if you want into the daytime parkers and the evening parkers. You have daytime parkers who commute into the city. And this is where the mayor's points are so important, and I greatly appreciate what he said, because there is no community in this state that has done more for alternative transportation than the city of Ann Arbor. And much, if not all, of that is under the leadership of the mayor. But as the mayor pointed out, you will never abandon the need for automobiles, and we see time and again how we need an adequate parking supply. But in our daytime system, we can have all the bike lanes and the sidewalks and the buses and maybe even the rails that we want. But there will still be a significant number of people who commute into the city who are not serviced by those transportation options. Now, Councilmember Anglin suggests, well, let's park them in the outskirts of town. We try and do that where we can, the university does. I would like to see us try and do that with the city. But the mayor gave an outstanding example, a Fortune 5 company that said, I want parking in downtown Ann Arbor. So this is the difference between theory and speculation and fantasy of, let's just solve all of our economic problems by parking everyone on the outside of the downtown, and they'll get used to it, versus the reality. Google is a wonderful company. We are thrilled to have them downtown. They do a lot for alternative transportation, but they're a business, and they have to have some parking spaces. And when you don't have an adequate supply of parking, you lose business. That's what this vote really gets down to. Do you want to support business in downtown Ann Arbor or not? It's really that simple. We also have the evening parking component of it. Now, I'll just be anecdotal here. I won't even talk about data because the data speak for themselves. Drive to 4th and Washington during many weeknights, but certainly any weekend evening, and look at the little sign that stands outside and tells you how many spots. Zero. Now, the funny thing about there being zero spots is I find it hard to believe you can truly fill any garage to the brim because you have those people who park in double spaces. So that means somebody's probably parked illegally in a corner someplace. But regardless, the sign says zero. Drive to the Brown Block. They've heard me complain about the Brown Block all the time. There's a line down the street of cars waiting to get in. Klein's Lot, same thing. Forest Street, same thing. Maynard, we heard, I think, Mr. Hewitt talk about how busy Maynard is during the evenings. Now, there's no doubt that we have some garages that are underutilized during the evening. And that's why I do support a demand-based pricing system. I encourage the DDA to pursue that so we can help shift people around and deal with that. But where all of these filter into is not only the existing lack of supply of parking overall for the system, particularly in the core where we're talking about this garage, but future demand. Now, Councilmember Anglin talks about this as being built on sand. I don't think the dormitory that's being built by the University of Michigan on the corner of Huron and Washington, that's going to house hundreds of students who will sleep there, and professors who visit there and other people who visit, that's not sand. The building's almost done. It's big. It's almost done, and it needs parking. We have a new student loft that's being built across from the Ann Arbor News. That's not sand. It's almost done. It's ready to be built. Google. We hope that Google will continue its expansion plans. That's not sand. That's real. And we heard from a broker tonight who talked about an experience I had with a high-tech company. And I said to this company, you know, we will work with you. And they said, we don't need a parking space for every one of our employees. We don't even need a parking space for half our employees. But we need to have some. We'll work with go-passes, we'll work with bikes, but we got to have some. And we couldn't even meet that portion of the demand that they were asking for because we don't have enough spaces, and we lost them. And those are dozens and dozens of highly paid research individuals who now will not be shopping at Renaissance during the day, who will not be dining at Zanzibar for lunch, who will not drop their dry cleaning off at Gold Bond Cleaners. And that is a shame, and it has to stop. There's been talk about money. Mr. Crawford did an excellent job of saying that, in his opinion, he doesn't think the bigger garage is feasible. We've amended that. That's great. He still has some concerns about the smaller garage, but he thinks it's achievable. I have a resolution coming up in two after this that I think will address that. It basically asks the DDA to work with us to bring a financial plan together, not to pay for this. They can pay for this. There's no doubt about that. And they can even pay for this and have reserves. But I believe we should ask them to pay for it and have an adequate number of reserves and contingencies, and that's what my resolution will do. Briefly, and then I'm going to wrap this up because I'm over my time, I just have to respond to a couple of Councilmember Anglin's comments. Councilmember Higgins is laughing at me because I'm way over my time. I appreciate a good, vigorous debate, but it has to be based on facts. Councilmember Anglin pointed out that the DDA's TIF revenue is based on four projects that are iffy. The DDA has a lot more TIF revenue than those four projects. The building I work in, the East Liberty Building, the MAV Building, the new McKinley Building, there's lots of other TIF revenue, and those aren't speculative. They're there. I work in it every single day. So the idea that the entire DDA TIF revenue structure is mythical and imaginary is just not true. Rate increases, we're talking about a minimal rate increase that the DDA is proposing. I personally believe parking rates should go higher because I think the demand justifies it. But regardless, we're talking about a minimal rate increase. Councilmember Anglin said, let's put people on the streets. Unless we make every street downtown one way, we can't have them be like Ann Street with back-end parking. It can't happen. And as I think we all know, most of our streets already have on-street parking, and we are expanding more on-street parking with 5th and Division. So that's absolutely false that we can address this need by simply putting people on the streets. Councilmember Anglin mentioned about the downtown emptying out at night when all the commuters leave. The downtown does not empty out at night. I challenge anyone, again, drive to 4th and Washington, and you'll see the sign. Go into any restaurant, and knock on wood, they'll continue to be busy, and we'll continue to have a lively downtown. I hate to use simple cliches, but we've seen the data, and we've heard the people who actually live this on a day-to-day basis talk about this. So I'm willing to make it this simple. If you vote against this garage, you're voting against our locally owned merchants in downtown Ann Arbor. It's that simple. I strongly support this, and I urge my colleagues to do the same.
Further discussion? Councilmember Smith?
I think it's probably no surprise that I support this structure. I supported a larger version of it. So it's something that my 4.5 years time on the DDA, I've come to appreciate parking. I don't use the system very much. I walk everywhere. And I have come to learn about parking and good parking managers and very conservative approaches to the money management. The TIF projections are historically low. The projections on the 10-year plan, I believe, is at 2.5%, and it seems to outpace that fairly regularly. And that's assuming no new buildings are put up. So the conservative approach shows no development happening and maintaining a 2.5% increase. The parking system is just that. It's a system, and it works as a whole. And there are some decks that are paid for and some that are bonded and have a lot of debt that they carry. And it's the ones that are free and clear that fund the system. So it is looked at as a whole. It is the next step in this is to look at it, which ones are more popular and what time periods are more popular, and to, as any Econ 101 teacher would tell you, is you charge more for something that's in higher demand and less for something that's in less demand. We haven't seen any of the pretty pictures of this deck, so there wasn't a PowerPoint that I thought was going to come forward, but the first floor is very well lit. There's a lot of consideration for light and air for parking patrons, or library patrons. The current library, as I understand it, actually was designed for a first floor entrance. So that is still a possibility. It, from my understanding, it can't be a barrier-free, but a couple of steps up, and you can go from what they call P1, or the first level down, directly into the current library. Any future library most likely would take advantage of that proximity and want a design to meet that structure. The street, which is now known as Library Lane, is I think going to be an exciting pedestrian active street. And one of the designers had described it as a place where the pedestrians are the hosts and the cars are the guests. And I think it's a wonderful way to put it, that this is not a spot that there will be a lot of traffic. There's going to be a safe drop-off for students, for kids going to the library. Right now they're dropped off on a busy street. So I think that there's going to be a lot of very nice amenities. And we're going to break up a long pedestrian block with a cut-through. So that's going to bring more activity. There's certainly discussion about what goes on top, and I am very much in favor of starting a dialogue as soon as we can, because that's what I keep hearing. That's what I hear from constituents, and that's what I heard at the public hearing at the Planning Commission, was this is fine, but what goes on top? And I think it's time to begin that dialogue. I think that some of the hesitation is because we don't, as a community, have an identity of what's happening on top, and I think that will help people. It is designed so that there's a lot of different options and opportunities for what goes on top. I did check to make sure that there's no additional cost, really, for the engineering for these options to have this flexibility of what goes on top. It could be a convention center. It could be a retail center. It could be a condo. It could be whatever it is the community decides. That's up to us as a group to talk about and come up with. There will be public space. There will be open space there. It won't be the whole thing. There will be open space. I think that's a very important component of what the Ann Arborites are looking for. And to mention a couple of things that were brought up tonight, the 5th and Division streets are actually the only streets that are wide enough to add parking to. I think everything else has parking, so that is pretty much parked up. I think we're going to get 100 to 150 spaces max out of those two streets. And the design of the 5th and Division pedestrian improvements and streetscapes, I think, are very important that go along with this project. And I will be adding the funding for that into the bonding resolution later on tonight to make sure that that is a component of the structure. And finally, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not we're thinking in the future for dealing with vehicles. And I have no doubt that we're going to be in vehicles of some sort. We have independence. You think about an elderly parent and telling them to give the keys up. And they don't want to do that. They need those keys. They need that independence. And you're not going to get people out of vehicles. It may not be driven by gasoline. It may not be the internal combustion machine that we know. But it is going to be a vehicle. We hope that maybe we get two people into a vehicle instead of just a single occupancy vehicle, but we'll continue to do that, whether it's driven by corn or electricity or magnesium. We don't know. But I really doubt in the next 50 years that you're going to get people to give up their vehicles. So I wholeheartedly support this project, and I hope you all do too.
Councilmember Jarzynski.
Thank you. Just one other aspect I'd like to add. And that is, we've talked about the great merchants downtown that really need the traffic and the parking for that traffic. We've also talked about the people who come into Ann Arbor from other areas. How about the people who live in different areas of Ann Arbor? When I was campaigning this last year, I was very alliterative, and I said my main principles are things like proactive collaboration, planning, and provision of services. Well, a number of people in my area, or Steve in my area, said, how about another P, parking? That was brought up time and time again for people that live in the city, sometimes miles away from downtown, because we have a city that has miles away, that want to come down. And they are afeard of parking. I'm not finding a parking place, of going around, like circling the wagons, to try to find a place on a Friday night. You just have to walk down Main Street on Friday night on a warm summer day to see how successful the downtown area is, and also to see how people are lurking for parking spots. And it is a very big problem. And I think we have to think of the other people in Ann Arbor as well. And as I think Sandy said, we're going to be using vehicles for a while to come yet. And for some of us who reach a certain age, it's not going to be a bicycle. It might be a walker. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is you're going to have to really cater to people who want to come in from different areas of the city, and they should be considered, too, in our deliberations. And I'm really for this. I have been talking with the DDA people for the last 6 or 7 months as this became an issue, and I think, again, it's an idea whose time has come.
Councilmember Teo.
One other aspect about this, I don't think this is business as usual in terms of parking structures whatsoever. I am so looking forward to seeing the pretty pictures, to seeing the designs. I think it was 2003 or 2002 that we went to Boulder and Denver and saw what they were doing with underground parking and came back and said to ourselves, we all said to each other, we've got to start putting parking underground. And that way, you know, as we shift away from needing vehicles, perhaps, maybe we can take down the ones that we don't like, or the ones that are aging and the old ones, the tall structures. But I think this is absolutely the way to go. I think that I would be supporting the larger one as well with Sandy, but I understand why we're limiting it at this point. So I am glad people are supportive of this. Thank you.
Councilmember Breer.
I'd like to echo Councilmember Teal and Councilmember Smith in saying that I, too, am disappointed that we're not pursuing boldly the larger plan. It was a bold and rather exciting plan to build the biggest, deepest hole and put the cars in it. I understand the reason to reconsider the financing, and yet most of the objections that I've heard voiced have been concerns about the economy and the potential for future plans for that spot. I look at the economy of scale. When you've dug that big hole, digging it a little bit bigger isn't going to make that much of a difference. Saving $6 million at this point, I begin to feel like, you know, a million here and a million there, it's not that much money, but I understand. I hope that at some point in the future we can reconsider things, because truly, when we are talking about putting cars somewhere, we have to think about putting them away, out of sight. I also think that we've made a commitment to downtown density, and whether that's a commitment that I share as an individual, it's a commitment that this council has made. And that commitment is coupled with a statement that we do not demand that housing, downtown density, requires parking. And so this council must make a commitment to deal with parking. And that's our responsibility. I also think that we need to really make a
coupled commitment to benefit the city of Ann Arbor as a whole, and that includes that commitment to the merchants of downtown when they need parking, is not just at night and not just on the weekends, it's also in the daytime. I know I don't come downtown during the day very often, and I'm grateful when I can sneak in at 8 o'clock in the morning and nobody's open because I know I can find a parking spot. I know that I'm grateful to come downtown on the weekend at 10 o'clock in the morning before everybody else has come downtown. And I know exactly when to shop because the football game is on and everybody is somewhere else. But there are lots of people who have a hard time finding a place to park and they don't come downtown anymore. And I hear about that as well. I'd love to see that this big hole we're digging allows us to tear down one or more of our aging parking structures rather than shoring them up, because I'd like to eliminate some parking. I'd like to think that our commitment to downtown density, coupled with our belief that downtown density does not require as much parking, equals less absolute parking in the future. I'd like to believe that, but I'd like to see that we put our money where our mouth is and build this big hole.
Further discussion? Councilmember Pundle?
Well, I don't know how much more I could add to the comments that have already been made by those who are supportive of this project. For a number of years, I actually had my offices back up to that to the library lot, so I can certainly share firsthand the anecdotal evidence that some of the small business owners here have provided tonight, and certainly had my fair share of clients who bemoaned difficulties in trying to get a parking spot during the day hours in particular. And so there's no doubt in my mind that very simply there is consumer demand and there certainly is business owner demand, small business owner demand. And Councilmember Graydon and Councilmember Honke mentioned about the move of one of our sort of star emerging companies. We know them well. They're a member of my organization, and I find it absolutely incomprehensible how we could allow for such an exodus. It is one of the shining examples of what Ann Arbor professes to be, what it needs to be to compete with the likes of the Silicon Valleys and the Cambridge, Massachusetts, and San Diego's and so forth. And in the only growth sector, or in the only technology sector, I might add, that is growing here in Michigan, i.e. the biomedical technology sector. And I think that we just can't do enough to ensure that these companies, in fact, can not only start, but can grow, and we can retain them here within not only the city, but you know, preferably in the downtown or near downtown area. So I too would prefer to have a little bit bigger hole, but I certainly understand from a financial perspective that we have to be prudent and build within our means. And but nonetheless, the project has merit, and I too share the confidence that there will be plenty of time for public dialogue about what should or should not be on that surface of that lot. So I'll be supporting this measure.
Further discussion on DB2. I just would make a couple of quick points about some things that were brought up. The environmental standpoint on this, I think I spoke probably too long about all of our efforts in alternative transportation. But I'd like to go back a little bit to the root of DDAs. And when you think about what DDAs are all about, it's the one advantage that downtown areas have over township areas. Township areas have the ability to spread parking out over the landscape. They have the ability to offer green fields, which are much cheaper to build in, where companies can just go and park horizontally. One of the big problems that downtowns have, the central problem in attracting business, is one we've all heard about, we all know well, is about parking. And one of the ways to fight sprawl, something I've been engaged in for many years, is to have more people creating and growing their businesses in downtown areas, to have more people shopping in the downtown instead of strip malls that are spread across the countryside. And the only way you're going to have that happen is to have adequate transportation, both alternative, non-motorized, but also, again, you can't make everybody get out of their car and take the bus, jump on a bike, or walk. You need to have a place for customers to park. I believe that this planet is probably past the moment of peak oil, that we will forever have a shortage of fuels for our motor vehicles. As soon as this recession is over, we'll see prices begin to go up again. But no one who is knowledgeable in this area and studies transportation has proposed that people will get out of, they won't drive. They may drive electric cars. They may drive plug-in hybrids, the new wave that will be coming along. They'll be driving smaller automobiles, and we can paint the spaces closer together, sort of what they did a few years ago in Michigan Stadium when they wanted to expand. They just kind of put the seats closer together. Well, we can do all those things. But people are still going to have vehicles. The new parking structure will have tunnels of light bringing in natural light. It will have the very latest in light-emitting diode technology lighting, something that we are a worldwide leader in. It will have park plugs for those who want to plug their car in when they bring their electric or hybrid electric vehicle into town. It will be totally state-of-the-art and equipped for the modern and the future automobile. The other thing that I would add that nobody has brought up yet tonight, except for one of our speakers, and I think he touched on the point very well. Construction prices are down. There's a great need for jobs in our community. We need a parking structure. We can finance the parking structure. It will bring economic vitality to this region as millions of dollars are spent on this project. The timing would indeed seem to be, from this point of view, perfect for what it is that's being proposed. It's what this whole nation is rushing to do right now, is to put people to work on needed infrastructure projects, and this is another one of them. I would just sum up by saying that I get my inspiration from cities, from European cities. I've been in so many European cities where the train station is crammed with bicycles from the commuters who have ridden in and left their bike at the train station, people who have walked where cycling is much more accepted than it is here, and that's something we need to work on. But I would also note that in every sizable European city, anything over about 75,000 that I've been in, the parking is underground. And we need to move away from using up our surface space for parking and move it underground. And that's exactly what this proposal will do. Is there further discussion on DB2? Roll call vote starting with Council Member Teal.
Yes.
Council
Member Higgins?
Yes.
Council Member Hoffa?
Yes.
Council Member Angla?
No.
Yes.
Councilmember Smith?
Yes.
Councilmember
Breyer?
Yes.
Councilmember
Dargis?
Yes.
Councilmember
Pongo?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember
Taylor?
Yes.
It's approved. We'll take a short break. Back from our break. And we are ready to discuss DS2, resolution approved the industrial facilities exemption certificate between the City of Ann Arbor and Edwards Brothers, Inc. Moved by Councilmember Rapundolo, seconded by Councilmember Derazinski. Discussion of DS2. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved. DS4, resolution authorizing publication of notice of intent to issue general obligation parking facility capital improvement bonds, the South Fifth Avenue parking deck project, not to exceed $55 million. Moved by Councilmember Graydon, seconded by Councilmember Smith. Discussion on DS4. Councilmember Smith.
I have sent an amendment to this resolution and the following one to both the clerk and all the council members. For those that don't have that in front of you, it does address the change in the site plan that we did a little earlier. And let me get the right one. Basically, it's going to be starting with the notice of intention of the City of Ann Arbor to issue general obligation capital improvement bonds rather than specifying the parking facility.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm looking for my Zoom here. The parking spaces are reduced from 777 to 677 space. And making streetscape improvements along 5th and Division Streets. We will save bonding fees by putting this project in at the same time. The continue on down, instead of going to William Street, it will be the southern boundary of the lot. The project will also include the construction of streetscape improvements on 5th Avenue and Division Streets from Beeks to Packard, including improved crosswalks, new streetlights, trees, sidewalks, bike lanes, and curb. And I believe those are the changes on this one.
Is there a second for that amendment? Seconded by Councilmember Breer. Discussion on the amendment. Councilmember Pundlow.
More of a question. In proposing some of those changes, for example, the reduction in the space, number of spaces, and the changing of the southern boundary designation, by doing so, does that then negate or preclude the option of building something more to the south? Should the need arise, or should it come to that? Does this bind us to do only what's specified in terms of number of spaces and to the geographic boundaries? I don't know if that's a question for...
I think Mr. Crawford is prepared to answer that.
The purpose of the notice of intent is to give a substantive description of the property. I'm sure it wouldn't have to be exact, but it would need to be pretty close to what you're doing.
That's my only concern, is that by defining it as such, it eliminates the possibility of that option that I think we sort of... that Councilmember Honke was advocating was built in that first in the resolution we just passed.
If I'm not mistaken, the ability to extend down Fifth Ave is contingent upon the language in the resolution around the site plan. This is simply floating a bond amount that will allow for the construction as described in this bonding resolution, which is to the southern boundary of that library lot. However, the site plan resolution that we approved tonight does include a site plan that extends down to William. I don't believe that anything in this bonding resolution will limit future action by this council to give guidance to the DDA to examine and go ahead and construct further down Fifth Avenue to William. Is that consistent with your understanding?
That's correct. Yep. So you approve the site plan and in two phases, and you're enacting this bond is authorizing funding for the first phase. Does not preclude you from later on approving this funding for the second phase.
That would be a separate bond.
I think Mr. Postman has something to add.
I believe that is correct, and I will clarify it. I would take the vote on it tonight. If there's anything that is unusual in it, we will correct it. But I think you can proceed on that assumption tonight.
Further discussion on the amendment? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Pardon me?
Opposed.
You're opposed. Would you like a roll call vote?
No.
Okay. It's approved. And back to DS-4 as amended. Further discussion. Councilmember Smith, did you have another amendment?
On the
okay, not on
DS-5.
This one. Gotcha. Further discussion on DS-4 as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved. DS-5, resolution approving issuance of capital improvement bonds, limited tax, general obligation to fund construction of a parking structure at South Fifth Avenue, not to exceed $55 million. Moved by Councilmember Smith, second by Councilmember Teal. Discussion of DS5. Councilmember Smith.
I also have an amendment that you received, which talks about the streetscape improvements along 5th and Division Street. The bond amount is still not to exceed $55 million, with a current anticipated bond issue size of $49,375,000 for, again, the 677 spaces. And the date is extended from 2035 to 2039. The project will also include the construction of streetscape improvements on Fifth Avenue and Division Streets from Beeks to Packard, including improved crosswalks, new streetlights, trees, sidewalks, bike lanes, and curb.
That's it?
That's it.
Seconded by Councilmember Darzynski. Discussion on the amendment to DS5. Councilmember Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Quick question. I note that the anticipated issue size has increased modestly, and the space and the indicated spaces has decreased. Is the reason for that that change up in the anticipated issue size in the presence of the decreased parking spaces due to the inclusion of the streetscape improvements?
That's correct.
Thank you very much.
Councilmember Honk.
I'll just add as a further point of clarification to Councilmember Taylor's comments that the reduction in the bond float for the removal of the extension down Fifth Ave is $5.1 million, which is the $6 million that it's estimated to cost. 85% of the construction cost is being floated by the DDA, with the rest being an equity contribution. So that 85% of the $6 million is the $5.1 million that would go down, and then what brought it back up is the inclusion of the streetscaping.
Further discussion on the amendment to DS5. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
It's approved. Now back to, that's a roll call. That was the amendment, and we will have a roll call vote on the main motion. Back to DS5 as amended. Further discussion. Councilmember Smith.
The 5th and Division project is something that I've been familiar with almost as long as the need to add parking. And it has been discussed and in the public realm for many years. It is important because right now it is not a corridor. Either corridor is not pedestrian friendly at all. It is a highway cutting through town. There are businesses that come and go there. They can't. They are not sustainable there. It's very difficult to make a go of it in all but just a handful of places. Actually, the library block is really the only area that there's strength in that on Fifth. It's kind of deserted in a ghost town. It's not very pleasant to walk down. While we are doing major construction on Fifth, both ends, in a sense, and the library lot and the Larkham block, I think it's important that we address this. It's a good time. There's been many public hearings on what the streetscape is. Has evolved into, and a lot of input, and I think that it's going to be very pleasing and will really renovate kind of the core of the town. And so I'm excited about this project being funded as well.
Councilmember Breer.
When anyone looks at downtown Ann Arbor, they think about Main Street, State Street, and maybe they think about Liberty Street linking them. We really need to think about how Division and Fifth feed right to Carytown, right past where we're sitting today. And we need to think about how vital these crosstown corridors are to making Ann Arbor a vivid and vital location. These are important arteries for us. But if we make them arteries that move things swiftly, as we have in the past, they are swiftly moving everybody out of town instead of keeping them here in town where we want them to stay and shop. The Fifth Street and Division Street improvements are going to make a big difference in how we get people out of their cars and walking around Ann Arbor. And I'm very excited to support this particular funding mechanism.
Further discussion on DS5 as amended. Councilmember Honka.
I'll just add, I want to thank Councilmember Smith for making sure that this is included tonight and agree with both her and Councilmember Breer's comments about Fifth and Division. I, too, think that for a long time, Division has divided us. it's a street that's not friendly in many of its aspects. And the only point I would add is that this project will add a lot of the pedestrian and bike friendliness that we talked about earlier tonight. This is the piece that we're doing in parallel with the parking structure. And I'm excited about the enhancements to the pedestrian experience and to the bicycling experience downtown. Thank you.
Further discussion on DS5, as amended. Roll call vote, starting with Councilmember Teal.
Yes. Councilmember Honka?
Yes.
Councilmember Anglin?
No.
Mayor Hitchcock?
Yes.
Councilmember Smith?
Yes.
Councilmember Rare?
Yes.
Councilmember Derzinski?
Yes.